I've entitled this talk, I dwelt on the name I could give it, but I ended up deciding on the beast from the east. I think we are all very familiar with what the beast from the east is a storm. Brother Eric used to like to talk to me about it. Can I share this my screen, please?
Justin's hosting, so Justin, I think you're going to have to enable him. Yeah, you can share now, Luca.
Okay, let's see. Okay. So what do I do here? Remove this one. Right. Okay. Let's. The beast from the east. And may I start by sharing with you what my life has been like. It's been very much like the sea. Sometimes it has been very calm and the wind has been blowing softly, but other times the wind has risen, the sky darkened, and I found myself in the midst of a terrible storm. I'm sure it's an experience that we all share in one form or another. And that's the way life on this earth is. Each one of us may have been affected in one way or the other. Some have permanent scars or open wounds, and others have healed. All those storms that, if we have time another day, I will tell you all about. The Lord has always been faithful and come through for me. And for you too, I'm sure. We are currently going through one of the biggest storms in our lifetime. The storm I have called the beast from the east, using a term that you are all familiar with. The COVID-19, as you all know, has caused havoc in every aspect of our life. So what has been my fears about COVID-19? I was very concerned, and I shared this with many others, at the potential for this virus to wipe out most of the lowest of the church, including me. As those who regularly attended the lowest of church, you are familiar with all the long-standing medical conditions that most of the members have. And this virus had and has a potential to tip us over the edge. The probability of us losing our lives is very real and is very high. So I was so concerned that I started socially distancing myself well before any advice to do so. And I'm going to mention names here, and I hope you will bear with me. It's not in a bad way, but it's in an encouraging way. Brother Errol and Sister Beth know how I responded when I learned that they had traveled to Italy. At the time, there was an outbreak in the north of that country. And my fears grew when Brother Errol told me that Sister Beth had gone down with flu-like symptoms around the fourth day of their return. I suggested at the time that they needed to self-isolate, but I doubt they took that suggestion. As Sister Beth bounced back quickly, and she was in church the following Sabbath. I teased them regularly with the words, "You should never have gone to Italy." I had an open and frank discussion with the wider Victoria family and with Brother Dean and Sister Trish about my concerns. Should there be an outbreak in the lowest of the church, and to some degree in the Great Yarmouth Church as well. And they all assured me everything was going to be all right. I should not have any fear. I asked myself, where are they coming from? Did they know something about this virus I did not know? After all, I was responsible for putting together the business continuity plan in my service area, ready for when a pandemic outbreak occurred. I listened to other conversations around me at church. They ranged from, "I don't care, if it happens, it happens," and others totally assured that God would protect us 100% and everything else in between that. As some of you may know, I lost my mother some 5 years ago now, and this virus has brought flashbacks about my mother lying on the hospital bed with septicemia, severe pain, and struggling to breathe for days on end before she finally fell asleep. This scene played on my mind again and again. Now, in life, there are numerous storms that occur. I just like us to consider what type of storms these are. They are normal storms. As the Bible says, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And the opposite is also true, that it's not only the unjust who suffer, it's also the just, because we live in a sinful world. We simply have a world that has storms as a natural part of life. And then we have self-inflicted storms. Those who may have contracted HIV because of their misbehavior, know very well that they may be forgiven, but they will live with that HIV for the rest of their lives. And the consequences for their lives are also dire. There are some storms, as recorded in Jonah 1:1-4, where we refuse to do what the Lord says and we suffer as a consequence. And there are some storms that God sends us for our growth. Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side of the sea, Matthew 14, 22 to 24. He knew a storm was brewing, but was teaching them a lesson for their development. And then there are storms we face because of being in the wrong place, around the wrong people, at the wrong time. In these storms, we are dragged into by other people. That's where we find the Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner, who had tried to warn the people on the ship that they wouldn't listen. So he was dragged into the storm by others. But how do you manage a storm? I was thinking, going back to my fears again, I was thinking myself, should I stop going to church or not? Should I continue to give Sister Edith a lift or not? What if I pass something on to her? Would I ever manage to live with that guilt? I began to question myself why I was so concerned and even worried when others were so full of confidence. Did that mean my own faith was not strong? Certainly measured against others, obviously it felt very short. I must admit, I was very relieved when the lockdown was announced, even though it had an immediate financial cost to me. And also, it stops us going to church. Going to church, the thing that I was very scared of. So it was very ironic that there was relief that the lockdown was there. So, what can we learn from Acts 27? From verses 13 to 44, we are not going to read all the verses. The story is very familiar to us. We read of a physical storm in the life of the Apostle Paul. He had been arrested for preaching the gospel of Christ and was being taken to Rome to be adjudicated when they encountered a huge storm. Now I have written down here how not to manage a storm. Not to make decisions in haste. We read in verse 9, they decided, we can all turn to Acts 27 and follow if you've got your Bibles with you. And verse 9 says, much time had passed and they felt they had to do something. And of course, that something turned out to be the wrong thing altogether. And the next thing is, they followed the crowd. So they took a vote whether to go or not. And Paul was outvoted in verse 12. And we can see here that frequently, the majority is simply a lot of people pulling their ignorance. We see when we vote for our political leaders in years gone by, you wonder how we ended up with certain governments, it's because many people just pulled their ignorance. And we end up with a government that is not competent, that actually takes the country in the wrong direction. And not to depend upon worldly wisdom. Sorry, not to depend upon worldly wisdom. We see in here, in verse 11, they would not listen to what Paul was saying. And yet they knew that he was a man of God, but instead they listened to each other and left Paul out in the decision making. So don't go to the people of this world and ask them what to do. Often it will lead you astray. And then they decided to take the easy way out, because the harbor wasn't up to their standard. They decided to depart hastily, but in verse 12. They made their decision. It was based on what would be easy. And almost always you find trouble this way. Sometimes we are called upon to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And also, they depended upon circumstances. In verse 13, I think I've gone ahead of myself on the slide there. So they decided the sun was shining, the sea is calm, and the wind is blowing in our direction. It must be the right thing. There are a lot of people who are led by circumstances and say, Lord, it must be your will. It looks good, but that soothing south wind may turn into a horrible, ferocious storm. And then, finally, they lost hope. Now, when you lose hope, that's a recipe for disaster. Of course, the sun and the stars and the moon had all disappeared, and they were in complete darkness. And then in verse 30, as the storm progressed, they started doing all sorts of foolish actions, and they almost caused their own death by trying to escape by lifeboat when the storm was so ferocious that they would all be killed. What was Paul's response? In this storm. In the middle of the storm, when the ship was all but lost, Paul comes up with an astonishing pronouncement in verses 22 to 25. We can read this together. Okay, Acts 30, 27, verse 21 to 25, I'm reading from the New Life Translation. But take courage, none of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God, in his goodness, has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said." People must have thought Paul was out of his mind, but on this occasion, they listened. And they did as Paul suggested from then on. What set Paul apart from the rest? Paul remained connected to the same Jesus who gave him songs in the night in a dungeon at Philippi, Acts 16, verses 25 to 31. Gave him peace in the midst of the storm. He could confidently say, "Be of good cheer," even in the midst of his storm. And so you and I can rely too on the same God who brought us, who brought Paul through this storm. He will no doubt bring us through our storms as well. We serve a mighty God. We may fail, flounder, and sin, but God is ultimately in control. Now, on reflection, I seem to have lost my text. Well, on reflection, I have thought about the issues surrounding this beast, and I now realize that while I was focusing on what the virus can do, as you have all seen what it has done, my brothers and sisters, I have mentioned above, we're very rightly focusing on what God can do. I would like to thank them for their wisdom. Brothers and sisters, I do not know about you. I've grown in my faith in this pandemic. God is answering our prayers for protection in this storm. We can also say to others, be of good cheer in this pandemic. So in essence, how we have coped with the pandemic storm as Christians has depended very much on our faith, or should I say, our level of faith. If you are in the middle of a stormoid decision, wait on God. If you feel something pushing you, it's unlikely to be the Holy Spirit. He leads and he guides, but he doesn't shove. Now, post-COVID-19, will it be business as usual? Are we going to be complaining that, talking about me and one or two others from time to time, the sermon has been too long? I should hope not. I would like us to look at Psalm 66. If you would like to turn into your Bibles, Psalm 66. This is the attitude that we should all take when this storm is over, even when it's still going on. If we happen to meet again in our churches as being planned, we must show a difference that we are truly serving God, God who gives life, God who protects us, God who never fails us, and God who is always faithful. He has been, he is, and will always be. So I read, I will shout joyful praises to God. I will sing about the glory of his name. I will tell others how glorious he is. I will say how awesome his deeds are, how awesome his miracles, the miracles he performs for his people. My life are in his hands. Our lives are in his hands. And he keeps my feet from stumbling. The Lord has tested me. He has purified me like silver. I cried out to him. I praise God. He did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. My prayer this evening, brothers and sisters, is that you will join me in making joyful noises once we get back to our places of worship and shouting to the Lord much more so than we ever did before. Thank you.
Jesus.